And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to The Beat, a podcast from The Athletic. I'm Brendan Quinn, here with Nick Baumgartner.
You are really juiced neither up, man.
Neither of us want to turn to look away from our computers and look at our respective televisions to see what is going on. It is currently 20 after 2 on Wednesday, January 6th. And you know, Nick, I feel like there's a chance that if people listen to this podcast a day from now, 10 days from now, a year from now, they're going to be like, January 6th,
why is that
2021 at 2:20 in the afternoon. I know what was happening at that time. So shit's getting weird,
but
we're just going to sit here and talk about some football, I guess. I don't know. There's really not much to talk about. And that is kind of the thing we're going to talk about. You're in this, you and Austin Meek, bless your souls, are in this very strange situation of a persistent holding pattern of
something like that.
And not as much as if anymore, it seems like. That's probably my read on things with Harbaugh, his extension. Our Bruce Feldman put it out there, 2026 is the likely extension. I don't know, man. You're just kind of in that weird spot that no one in our jobs is ever envious of anyone being in.
Yeah, it's like the worst scenario, right? Like on with the Lions too, actually, and they're in the middle of the all the NFL's a little easier to navigate. But No, I mean, we did the Harbaugh search once, right? Remember that from 20 sure. whatever year that was, where it took a month, if I can remind people, a full month. But no, I think that in this situation, what you've seen is a lot of people in a lot of places who don't know what's happening and are guessing. Mm-hmm. And they're guessing. I think I see a lot of guessing. I see a lot of people that are trying to make assumptions and try to connect dots in some ways that probably aren't worth the time to try to connect them. But in some ways you can understand why, you know, there's apprehension because this is Jim Harbaugh. And, you know, Bruce wrote or, you know, was told over the weekend that he, you know, that this was a situation, you know, obviously the 2026 date, I don't know if that's actually what it is. I've heard a couple different dates, actually, that there were a few different scenarios that were laid out, 2025, 2026. I'm not sure which one it was. But either way, the prevailing notion for some time here, for at least a week, maybe longer, has been that it was probable that Jim Harbaugh would be back at Michigan and sign this extension, that the basic parameters with some exception, were agreed to. There were some things that I was told over the weekend that still needed to be ironed out, but none of those were what should be considered roadblocks, but there were still some details of the contract needed to be finalized before he could sign it. And then, of course, also there's the, you know, just the notion of people wondering if he's taking this time to, you know, further survey the NFL landscape, which I would say this. I think he has probably taken more time over the last month to survey the NFL landscape than he probably has at any of the months or whatever of his previous, you know, years here combined. But I don't know if I would say that I would call it an active pursuit of jobs. I don't know if I could say that it is his like preference, because I don't know if anybody knows that other than him. And I think that that's right. Sort of the thing here, in that when you're hearing people report, a source tells me Jim Harbaugh's preference is, I got to tell you, I question that because I don't know that many people who know what Jim Harbaugh's preference is because he doesn't tell anybody. You know, and that's the situation. I mean, and when I say anybody, I mean it. And I've said this 1,000 times, and people can believe whatever they want, I guess, at the end of the day. But like, family members don't know what he's thinking. Okay. Like, that's a situation that happens with this guy. So done equals signed, and it hasn't been signed. I mean, it could be signed any minute right now for all I know. I mean, you know, I have been working under the thought that it was, you know, Michigan's preference, at least in the last week or two, that this doesn't go on beyond, you know, the start of next week, which would be the championship game, the end of the season, and then you start anew, you know, to the next season, and then it'll be resolved. But I can't promise you that it will be. So I don't know. I mean, he's back in town. I know that. He was in San Diego with family over the holiday. He is back now. No, I think a lot of the coaches are in the dark on this, but I think some aren't. I think some have been, you know, again, I think he's indicated to a lot of people that it was his preference to come back here, but, you know, it hasn't been signed yet. So, you know, we'll see how much longer it goes.
Quick question. Are you wearing a mock neck?
No, I'm wearing like a long sleeve thing. It just has a hood and it has
it's a hood.
Large neck. Yeah.
From the lighting from where I was sitting, it looked like you were wearing a mock neck.
No,
and I was
a hood.
Nick, I got to tell you, I was really thrown
off.
It's
like a spandex, or I don't know what this would be called, but yeah. Okay. Not, you know, something like that. Not a mock neck, no. Not a turtleneck. Are you going to regain yourself here so we can go on?
Sorry. Okay. So when you're in this, let's talk about it from the Harbaugh program perspective. When you're in this kind of weird middle ground, like, is there anything that can be accomplished, or is everyone just kind of sitting around waiting for the next thing to happen, right? Because you're past signing day, there's more recruiting to be done.
Yeah, Michigan's waiting for him to sign it. I mean, that's I mean, look, this is a situation that, again, we've talked about this a bunch. It never needed to get to this. Like, this was always going to be how it went if you allow, and that's why we've said this for all these years. If you let Jim Harbaugh go to the 11th hour on something, he's going to go to the 11th hour, and he is not going to operate in his like thought process as fast as you want him to in the 11th hour. He's not. He's going to take longer to decide things. Again, he doesn't have an agent. There's no agent here that's operating for him. Does he have people that can give him information about NFL situations and NFL jobs? He does. He has people that can give him that information, but does he have people that are negotiating these things for him? No. To my knowledge, no. So on the NFL side, I think that could maybe be subjective sometimes. And, you know, maybe somebody thinks that they're doing some negotiating for him. In reality, they're not. I don't know. But in terms of this one here with Michigan, I mean, he's going over a new deal that was presented to him that, as we've said, likely for less money, likely not the deal that, you know, he had, the same one, you know, all these things. And I think also the topic of whether or not, you know, it's clear that they want him here long term has, I think, been a thing in the middle of this the whole time, where it's like it has felt like for a long time now that both parties are weighing two options, and neither of which are ideal. And that is what this is to me, that neither side has been able to convince the other that it is ideal necessarily that what they're trying to do going forward. And I don't know if either side is 1,000% confident that what they're trying to get done is the 100% right thing to get done. But I think also it's like, it's a pandemic. It was a weird year. It's a weird situation with the deal. You want to get some resolution so you can move forward and keep yourself in position to sort of look at everything as it comes, but it's got to get done here. Yeah. I mean, at some point, I mean, you've got to move forward and keep going. You can't just continue to live in your own mind and ignore what happens outside of your own mind. And I think sometimes Jim Harbaugh gets,
I mean, wow, that let's just,
he gets caught in that sometimes.
We can put that on anything.
You could, but you know what I'm saying? You can't just ignore all, you know, yeah, right. January 6, 2021. You can't ignore everything. It can't just go on like that forever, and you can't just say everyone has to go on my time. I mean, there's recruiting, there's staffing, there's, you know, changes, these types of things. I mean, I don't think it's going to be that much longer. I don't know that for sure, and I tried my best to not run around acting like I do know, because I think a lot of people have tried to do that, and it's caused a lot of confusion for a lot of people.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Any chance of, because, you know, I mean, I'm in doing basketball and blah, 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 and I'm kind of just watching this thing with one eye. And I have wondered, though, if there's still the curveball possibility of the 11th hour, here comes a job offer from insert whatever NFL team. Like, are you still kind of prepared for that to
potentially I would never. And that's why I said what I said, like, when Bruce wrote what he wrote about optimism. I mean, again, that's subjective with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that what Bruce wrote is wrong or anything like that at all. Obviously not.
Right.
I mean, it's Bruce. I mean, he knows what he's doing, but, like, you know, Jim Harbaugh is an unpredictable person. He is not a predictable person. He's not, he's like an 8 out of 10 guy is what I like to say, right? Where 8 of 10 times, the 8 times he does exactly, if you've gotten to know sort of how he goes about things, 8 of 10 times he does what you think he's going to do. It takes a lot longer, and a lot of times you change your mind 4 or 5 different times along the way because he's usually pretty deliberate about that sort of thing. But there's always the two in there that seem to hang, that he does something that's completely, that just blows you, you know, like what just happened here. And so those things stick inside your mind. I think for a lot of people, that's probably the case, because I think a lot of people right now are hearkening back to what it was like, if you remember, you know, that month of December and maybe even some of November in 2014, where everyone in the world thought they had an idea of what Jim Harbaugh was doing, and it was proven that no one, and I mean no one, had an idea of what he was doing. All of those reports, all that reporting was wrong for weeks. Remember, we saw all this. For weeks. Yeah. And I think people were left, you know, sort of chasing guesses, people's opinions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes a source might be trustworthy in one sense, but, and they want to try to put it in the strike zone for it. They don't really know. If somebody talks out of turn, I don't know how all that stuff happens, but he just doesn't talk to people. He's not like one of these coaches. In a lot of ways, it's like Beilein, right? Like, Beilein was a coach that for years and years and years kept to himself, right, in his own circle. He didn't have a bunch of coaches that he talked shop with, or a bunch of people that he, whatever. Harbaugh's very much the same way, and even to a more extreme. He doesn't share his, you know, where I'm leaning with anybody. He just
right,
doesn't do it.
Right. So while there's this, I don't know, waiting game of how this is going to play out, do you think there should be any reasonable concern that, you know, they do have a defensive coordinator opening, or position open, and there's other places going to be looking to make moves. You know, you could, the same way a program can miss out on head coaching candidates, you can miss out on some pretty good defensive coordinator candidates.
No one's taking that job until you sign the contract. Like, that's what I'm
right.
That's what I'm saying. You can.
Right.
You can tell people.
I'm sure he's vetting people, and they're doing all the due diligence right now.
That's happening.
Like, you,
and again, but
if you have a contract in front of you, no one's signing that shit.
That's happening. And again, I would suggest that that's happening, and it should tell you that it's probable that he'll be back. But Black Monday was Monday. It's firing week in the NFL. This is the week that everything goes haywire. So it would stand to reason that if you're trying to put yourself in a situation where all of your options are clear and you want to make sure that all those options have been explored, this would be the week to explore them. So you let him get this far. You didn't have to. So if you're Michigan, I think that Michigan tried to operate this entire situation with Walls and Jim's court. It's up to him. At some point, you have to make it be up to him, and they haven't. So, like, they're going to have to just ride it out. I don't think Ward Manuel's freaking out about this the way that some people are. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I haven't been told that that's the case. So, I think a lot of the nervousness that, or I don't even know if that's the right word. I think a lot of people are hoping that he leaves. But, like, I think a lot of the uncertainty is understandable, but I don't know if all of it is quite warranted, I would say. I think some of it's understandable. I don't know if all of it is warranted, as some maybe believe right now. We'll see. So it's hard to predict.
We like to talk about the job on this show. I've only done one coaching search.
Oh my God.
Is that right?
One.
Because I came in right after Konzo got hired in Tennessee. And when I was in Philly all those years, I think there might have been one coaching change at Penn, but who gives a shit?
One.
And that was pretty quick. That was, what, 2 weeks?
That was the fastest one I've ever covered, yeah.
That Ward sealed Juwan up, right?
Yes.
Maybe less than 2 weeks, now that I think of it. So when you're in this kind of like, but this is the opposite of a head coaching search.
Yeah, well, it's exactly.
It's a guy is there, and it's a contract. What's going to happen.
It's a contract, yeah.
Right, so what, to kind of pull people behind the curtain a little bit, right, of what it's like doing a job in this. Like, this is where you got to kind of thread that needle of how many times you can ask certain sources, certain things, because if it ends up, you're just going every day
every and
nothing's happening. Now you wear someone out. Now you lose that source. Now it's, you know, you're back at the starting game. So how do you play a situation like this?
I think that, you know, you have to understand the person that you're dealing with, or at least it helps to. And the person that, when I say that you're dealing with, the person who's at the center of the whole thing, and in this case, it's mm-hmm. Harbaugh. So you have to understand sort of his processes and the way he operates. And I think that a lot of times what we see nowadays is there's so many people with voices and access to things, not access, I shouldn't say that's the wrong word. There's so many people with voices and access to Twitter, I guess, or social media or a website or whatever. And people speculate a lot. People guess a lot. People talk a lot. They try to predict. And sometimes I think that gets tangled and twisted up with what others believe to be factual. And I mean, look, man, you look around. Look how much stuff that we see every day that is just complete and total fucking nonsense. Just complete mm-hmm. and total nonsense that people put out there that, you know, is just completely insane. So at this point in 2020, and it's really been this way for the last couple of years, a lot of what you're doing with coaching searches now from our standpoint is you're trying to just keep them in the strike zone. You're trying to keep them... You're trying to keep it to where you're like, this is what's happening and nothing else. I'm not going to speculate on, you know, what I think on this or that or whatever. If I don't know it, we're not going to do that, because there's too much stuff flying around. And, you know, really right now, a lot of it is trying to keep it, you know, right in the middle, because it can get off of that track as best as you know. And also, you know, like you said, I mean, there's behind the scenes things. I would tell you this too. There's only so many people that are really going to have actual information on a topic like this.
Right.
There are not 20 people who know what Jim Harbaugh is going to do. Okay. There's not. Mm-hmm. There's not 10. There's probably not five. If I'm being like fully honest, there's probably not five. There might only be one, and it might just be him. But that's sort of the point, right? And that's often the case with most of these, is that there aren't 50 people who know what's going to happen. So a lot of times when you see 70 people running around with different kinds of information, I mean, you kind of have to ask yourself, like, are they just making this up? Are they guessing? Did they get led down the wrong road by someone? You know, that sort of thing happens too. So it's a hectic deal, but I feel like they've become a little more easier to manage for me because I've done a bunch of them, but I also feel like some of it is that there's so much stuff now that the primary focus of it, I feel like for our purposes, is just to keep it on the tracks. And be like, when it's over, it's over. We'll let you know when it happens. But they're challenging. But in some ways, I think even covering these have changed, or, you know, as compared to maybe 5, 10 years ago.
So just for the sake of covering our asses, if, you know, within 24 hours of this podcast posting.
Yeah, he could have signed it right now.
Harbaugh signed. Yeah, exactly. We're sitting here. Exactly. Right. I said to Nick earlier, like, if Michigan was kind of worried about any level of, I don't know, like not negative attention, but like being the, like a Harbaugh extension being a massive story, dump it today. Nobody would have any idea that this happened, right? And it would just be next week, and Jim Harbaugh would still be the coach at Michigan, and no one would really think anything of it. They'd be like, wait a second.
I thought he was always the coach. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I don't know how much that's been a motivating factor. I would probably suggest has been zero. I think that the fact that it's gone this far would probably suggest that, but no, that's certainly a fair point. But
let's play a scenario, right? So let's say, you know, the contract gets signed. It's 2026. Mm-hmm. What happens then? Like, what are the next dominoes to fall in order? Do you think it goes like, okay, here comes some staff shuffling. Here comes, you know, new contracts for certain members of the staff. What plays out next?
Yeah, well, I would say this. I would think that if we're still sitting here like this time next week and he hasn't signed, then it's going to be maybe a different conversation, right? About,
you're on vacation.
Well, yeah, maybe I move and none of you ever hear from me again. Maybe that's a different situation. No, but I mean, I think that if that were the case, then, you know, the Michigan having a firmer drop dead date on this would have to happen probably on that end. But ultimately, let's say he signs this thing today or tomorrow or Friday or whatever. Let's say he signs it and they move forward. The next order of business would be to figure out the rest of what you're going to do with your staff. You've already removed Don Brown. I believe it's been reported, and I've sort of heard the same, that I think it's been reported anyway, that Ben McDaniels, the quarterback's coach, possibly might not be back as well, although I don't know if that's been confirmed. I think that's been reported. I think Sam Webb may have reported that. But in any event, there's more of that, more staffing issues to get through. And of course, you have an open defensive coordinator job and probably most of a defensive staff that is going to have to be evaluated by a new defensive coordinator. You know, I know Harbaugh's going to look into, if he's back, you know, that was the plan anyway, to look into the offensive staff and see if there's more change that needs to happen there. The recruiting department, the whole thing. So really, that's why, you know, and I think a lot of that, and I, you know, has been something that Ward and Jim have discussed during this whole process of, you know, what do you want to do here? What do you want to do there? You know, or who do you like for something like this? What if we brought in this candidate or what have you? They've had a lot of conversations, I think, about those types of things as well. So that is the next order of business. And that's why that January 11th date, I think, is one that probably gets brought up, because there's a handful of coaches on this staff whose contracts expire January 11th, which would be the end of the college football year, technically, national title game. So there's some coaches on the staff that their contracts will have expired by then. And you'll need to make a decision one way or the other on what you want to do with them. And you'll need to know how many jobs you have open, all that sort of thing. And then sort of go about filling your staff back out, which has been something that he's had to do most every year he's been here. So that is going to be probably top order of business, finishing recruiting and then figuring out how to fix the team. I mean, that's because, you know, and hopefully, if the world doesn't collapse here, we can maybe be in a situation where in March or spring or April, these guys can, you know, all these college teams can maybe have some spring practice or something. I mean, hopefully that something like that can happen more this year than it did a year ago. You know, that teams can maybe have a more normal-ish year. I don't know if we can say that for certainty, though. So we'll have to wait and see. But they do have a lot of staffing decisions that have to be made, at least a couple right now anyway. And they have to, you know, get... He's got to sit down and figure out how he wants to fix this. Like, that should be the main event. The main event shouldn't be us talking about what he's going to do. It should be about, if you're coming back, do you want to be here and what's your plan to fix this? Because it's broken. It's broken. So what do you want to do? And that should be sort of what we're discussing here today. And, you know, maybe it will be what we're discussing, you know, at top of mind in a couple of days. Who knows? But yeah, I would say that if you get through the weekend and there's nothing, or I guess if you get through early next week and there's nothing, then, you know, maybe this is a different conversation. But as of this second right now, I would still say I would call it probably probable that he's back, but I wouldn't say it's for certain until I see, you know, or hear that he's signed.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
All right. I got nothing else.
Until then.
I got to tell you.
I see you watching the TV. I see
you watching the TV there. Powder keg explosion of the Civil War. So I don't know. Let's just. I got nothing. I think we're done here.
Okay. Do you want to talk any basketball before we get out of here at all? I know you got a game tonight.
Well, Michigan plays tonight. They got Minnesota, who I'm not. I am fairly certain Michigan's really good.
Sure.
I am not fairly certain that Minnesota is really good despite drinking and despite some good wins, but they got pieces. They're going to be a big challenge. You got some really good individual matchups in Eli Brooks trying to check Marcus Carr and Hunter Dickinson going toe-to-toe with his first true, 7-foot kind of anything resembling a contemporary. In the Robbins kid from Minnesota who has really been, when they signed him, I was like a 7-footer from Drake. Like, this is probably not going to be a,
right,
an equivalent big man, And
ringing your doorbell.
Somebody's phone is flashing and beeping. And man, this is a day. So I don't know. I'll be curious to kind of see how much Michigan still tries to play through him, like how many shot attempts they go, or if what he looks like as an offensive option, because I don't know if Minnesota has to double on Dickinson with the Robbins kid on him. So you saw it in the last game, the Northwestern trying to go with hard double teams. I wrote it out of that game how – that game really spoke to the endless possibilities of how good Michigan can be, because you watched a team that has some pretty good wins, beat Michigan State, beat Indiana, beat Ohio State, nearly beat Iowa. It was like a 4-point game with a few minutes left. And they were just kind of spinning in circles, trying to throw any reasonable defense at Michigan. They went man with a hard doubles on Hunter Dickinson and just got picked apart. had to throw that out the window and go to a zone, and it worked for a little bit until Michigan figured it out and started hitting threes. Then at halftime, they talked about, okay, how do we combat, you know, this Michigan team that just made 9 3-pointers? And in the first 4 minutes of the second half, Hunter Dickinson went out and scored 11 points in 4 minutes. And now they're like, oh shit, we forgot about Dickinson, right? So it like, that's what Michigan can do, mm-hmm. is get teams just kind of on skates, you know, of what to do. You know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. End of the day, giving up 2 to Dickinson is more than giving up 3 on the perimeter. So like, do you really want to double this team right now?
Yeah. He's a good passer too.
They've got capable shooters. If you have Eli Brooks, Isaiah Livers and Hunter Dickinson and Mike Smith around the perimeter, those are 3-point shooters. So leave them open if you want to, but don't get pissed when they go 10 for 22 and you lose. Right. And that's what Michigan can do. And, you know, Franz has got it going, and I've been really impressed by Mike Smith of late. So
you mentioned earlier that you think that they're legit, right? You're getting mm-hmm. closer to believing that. I watched a little bit of, I think, the Northwestern game the other day, and they have, just on, you know, my basic looking at this stuff, they have a lot of ways and a lot of guys that can really do damage to you almost in the, like, I don't know how to say it, or, I mean, they have a lot of, like, grown-ass adults on their team, maybe, is what I would mm-hmm. suggest, right? Like, this Shaundy Brown is something.
Yeah.
That I told Certified you, I dude. Told you this on whatever day that was. He is mm-hmm. the guy that Beilein needed and never could find, I think, in that like long, rangy, athletic, skilled, smart, and tough as shit player, right? Who does all these things kind of as a wing. They have a lot of, I don't know, what holes do you think exist at this point? Because on the surface, what we've seen so far, this looks like a pretty good team, a pretty complete-ish team. I don't know. Are there holes or maybe some things that you'd like to see more on?
They could clean things up with turnovers for sure. Defensively, I still want to kind of see them play some better teams and really see, especially kind of Dickinson, maybe get put into some more uncomfortable positions and kind of see what happens there. Mike Smith, I want to see him go against, you know, better guards. Penn State's got, you know, some decent guard play. Maryland's okay. Northwestern, not so much. But at the same time, I'm not like circling a lot of teams like, man, you know, these guys are going to be able to attack Michigan in this way or that way or this way or that way. Because they can play both ways. You know, I think they can play a game that gets slowed down. I think they can win a game that gets up and down, like, you know, against Iowa or whatever. It's, you know, when you hear a question like, you know, what holes do they have? It's so hard to say that mm-hmm. given the schedule that they've played and just being like, you know, I would never make a blanket statement like, no, man, you know, they check all the boxes right now. Cause then you go see them play a Wisconsin team or someone like that. Right. And just get exposed in a certain way or another. Like we'll see, right? Like Wisconsin will be a really great matchup.
See more tape, basically. These, I mean, that's what.
Yeah. I mean, they've taken care of business, and their schedule afforded them such a learning curve that is just huge that some other teams did not have. That they were granted kind of a grace period to learn without, you know, having to learn the hard way.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and then take a loss here, a loss there, a loss there. And, you know, also take the subsequent damage to your confidence or internal questioning or whatever. Right. Like even if you win ugly, you still win, mm-hmm. you know, it's not going to be that film room on Monday where guys are thinking, you know, are we doing the right thing? Is this right? Is that right? You know, it's just easier to keep guys engaged. They haven't had that. They've just been winning and going right along and getting better and getting better and getting better. So, you know, they run good stuff. There's a lot to be optimistic about, I think, across the board. And they can get even more going. They can get more out of their bench. They can get more out of Brandon Johns. They can maybe even get a little more out of Terrence Williams.
Terrence Williams is a nice looking player, too.
Pretty good.
Yeah, they got a lot of good looking, I don't know, like guys who I feel like they could do a bunch of, like, it seems like they're a team like the roster anyway is built in a way with certain guys with certain skill sets that their defense will be there regardless of who they play. Am I wrong?
Right.
Or is that correct?
No, I think that's fairly correct.
Which is interesting. And it's kind of a, well, I guess that's Juwan Howard though. That's sort of his brand of basketball. So interesting stuff. Anything else today before we ride out? Shortened episode?
Nope.
There's not a lot going on right now other than the hardball.
There is not a lot happening. There's not a lot happening right now.
And once this picks up, I promise, we will pick it up with you. If you got any want any Lions
I feel like it was this episode or no episode.
Yeah, we got a lot of Lions stuff going on. Otherwise.
Yeah, listen to, why don't you plug your pod with
Bert? Yeah, one of these years. We got a lot of stuff going on with Lions. You can find that in the iTunes store. Check that out if you are a Lions fan and haven't found us yet. Lions, of course, still in the middle of their GM and head coaching search and everything else. Literally everything is on the table right now for the Lions, including what are they going to do with Matthew Stafford. So a lot going on there. So if you want to check Chris and I out one of these years, find it on iTunes or anywhere else you find your podcasts, give us a look. And tell your friends about the beat as well. So this won't always be slow. This is just the first week of the year, so we'll have more things to talk about. Hopefully, if we're all still standing in a couple next week. And
isn't that bad of an episode? Just brief but brilliant, as my father says.
Brief but brilliant. There you go.
There you go.
Be
safe out there. Be kind to each other. And tip your bartenders and servers.
I seen hard times all my day.